Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
So some of you remember Paul Harvey, and some of you do not. I know I'm aging myself, although I'm only 61. 62 in about a week or so, May of the 11th, I will be 62. Now, May 10th is my big day. That's my born-again day, and I'll only be 29. So I'll be 62 on May the 11th. I'll be 29 on May the 10th. Again, you guess which one I celebrate the most. But anyway, Paul Harvey, he would have this, he was known for a couple of sayings. He would always, near the end of his stories, he would say, as he would finish the story, he would say, and now the rest of the story, right? He would always have this little addendum. But then even at the end, he would say, good day. He would always ask, good day. So I don't know where my introduction came from, except the thought that I don't know when you all are listening to this podcast. So good morning, good evening, good afternoon. I don't know where this podcast finds you, but I really do hope and pray this podcast finds you well. It is well. It is well with my soul. And this podcast finds you filled with the very person and the power of the Holy Spirit that this podcast is usually all about. So that's where I get my Paul Harveyism. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I hope and pray that you are well. Wherever this podcast finds you, I hope you are well and filled with the Spirit of a living and loving God. So there you go. That's the history of that. Speaking of history, we're going to start a brand new thing today. I'm excited. We're going to look at the whole book of Acts. We're just a couple weeks out from Pentecost. Pentecost is May the 24th. We are in May now. As you are listening to this, it will be May. I am taping it on the last day of April, but you will be hearing it in May. So 20-some days away, when you listen to this, it will be, we're looking right square in the face of Pentecost this year. May 24th, write it down. Most churches do not know when it is. Most people do not know when it is. Everybody knows when Christmas is. Say it with me, December 25th. Everybody knows when Easter is, for the most part. Now, it changes because of the lunar calendar, but it's still around last part of March, early part of April, and so everyone knows when they get Easter. They know Easter is on the schedule. Just people don't know Pentecost. They should. I've said it about 1,000 times, and I'll say it again 1,000 times until we get it, that the incarnation, the Son of God becoming flesh, which is Christmas, the crucifixion and resurrection, the 1-2 punch, which is Easter, and the impartation, which is the giving of the Holy Spirit, all three are equal in the redemptive work of God to redeem mankind. They are tri-equal in the eyes of God, the heart of God, and we should probably treat them that way, but we, alas, we do not. And so part of the reason for the Person and Power Conference that we've held, part of the reason for the Person and Power Podcast, part of the reason for the Person and Power book that I wrote a couple years ago, part of the reason for the focus on the Person and the Power, my preaching and teaching, is to somehow swing the pendulum back from excess, where everything's about the Holy Spirit, to nothing is of the Holy Spirit, ignorance of the Holy Spirit, complete blanking of the Holy Spirit, to some sense of biblical understanding of what we need to be doing, focusing on the Holy Spirit at times, understanding His role, understanding His personhood, and understanding His unique standing in the Trinity, in the triune God that we serve and that we know is to be the true God. And so that is the whole reason for a lot of what I do, teach and preach and write. So today we are launching into the book of Acts. We're going to be doing this for as long as it takes. Some of you were there last night at Bible study as we wrapped up the book of John. One of my favorite gospel accounts, I love them all, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all hold very special places in my life, and they all have special places in the record of Scripture. And they're all very unique, written for unique purposes. But John, for me, is one of my favorite books. And so we started, the Bible study of John. We started that in 1819. We took a little trip. I don't think that's the song. I don't think that's the year. What year did we take a little trip? First one to send that to me gets a prize. In 1818, we took a little trip. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. Some of you are singing that song right now. Anyway, we took a long time, maybe a year and a half. I don't know if it was 2 years, but so who the heck knows how long this will take. But I just feel like right here, turning the corner of May, looking at Pentecost and May 24th and all that, I just feel like that I've written a book about the book of Acts. But you and I both know that we'll never plumb the depths of Scripture, right? You know this. We will continue to, as long as we continue to do the work of research and Scripture, as long as we rely on the Holy Spirit, we're going to continue to find new nuggets and new revelation in the Word of God. So we are going to dive in together in the book of Acts. I'm going to pray for us here in just a moment, and then we'll get started. So yes, I am outside. I just feel like it's a beautiful day. I have this, just so you kind of get the picture and you can be a little jealous. A really special friend of mine gave me a covered swing, and I get to sit back on my deck. Sometimes it's 30 or 40 degrees during the day, during the morning. But the sun rises right above, right looking square at me. The sun rises over the tree line here in my backyard. And by about 9 o'clock, I can sit back here almost on any given day, almost any given day. If it gets in the 20s, probably too cold. But I have a wood deck. Well, the sun beats on that deck, and that sun, the wood absorbs the sun. Well, I sit right back behind me is the brick facade of my house. The brick refracts that sun. So I have this almost this homemade sauna. Plus, I'm tucked away. I can look into the cemetery to my left, and I see the flag. And I see the flag waving in the wind right now. There's a pretty good breeze. I don't feel the breeze necessarily because I'm kind of tucked away. So it is probably, it may not even be 50 degrees right now because it's pretty cool last night. It may be. It may be 52 or something. But it is quite warm. And because the sun beating down on the wood, off the brick, covered I'm shielded with my eyes and also shielded from the wind. I'm just letting you know, it's a good life. I just feel like it's sometimes to have outside noises. You hear the birds a little bit. You hear maybe a little bit of wind, and you might hear a passing car every now and then, but. The book of Acts is all about life, and it's all about the life of the early church. And so I think that's appropriate. So anyway, let me pray and let's jump in to Acts. Lord, we love you so much. I thank you and praise you. I'm excited for this new series that will take us. Well, I turn 62 in a couple of weeks. I might wrap up by the time I'm 65. So it may take a while here, 28 chapters. It might take a while. So, Lord, we ask and pray, Lord, that you would bless and encourage and anoint us as we dive in together this powerful book of the Bible. We're excited. So, Holy Spirit, as you inspired each and every book, as you inspired each and every word, would you inspire us to truly dig in, dive in, and really absorb the word that you would have for us today through the Scriptures. We love you so much, and we thank you for the redemptive work that includes the incarnation, includes the crucifixion and resurrection, and includes the impartation of the Holy Spirit. We love you, we trust you, and we do surrender to this time of learning together in Jesus, your mighty name. Amen and amen. All right, here we go. Acts 1. So let me just read a couple of verses and kind of stop. I've studied, of course, and read and read and studied and studied and read. But I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit kind of guide us. We may get to two verses. We may get to two chapters. doubtful we'll get to two chapters, but yeah, we'll see. All right. In my former book, Theophilus, and by the way, I'm reading from the NIV, and I go back and forth, NIV, NLT. I do a lot of preaching from the NLT. Lately, I've been doing a lot of preaching from the NIV. Not sure why, just feel like the Lord has led me there for a little bit. I'll do a lot of study from the NASB 1995 and also the NRSV, but again, and also the Jewish Bible. So it really kind of depends as the Holy Spirit leads, but here the NIV says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Verse 1 and 2, right? So a couple of thoughts. Interesting. First of all, we know Luke wrote this because Luke wrote Luke, and we know Luke wrote the book of Acts. We know that, and in the form of book, Theophilus, we also know that in Luke 1, if you remember, he's attributing this book to Theophilus, or at least he's addressing the book to Theophilus as well. In verse 4, in Luke 1, it says, this is starting in verse 1, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those whom were first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Verse 3, with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, my most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know for certain the things that have been taught. So who in the world is Theophilus? Who is Theophilus? So interesting, love the fact that we don't know, really, but we have some theories. All we know, and no one really agrees on exactly who Theophilus is, but let me just read to you some of the theories. These are some of the leading theories on the identity of Theophilus, and you can make a determination on your own here. So first of all, some believe he was a wealthy patron. This is probably the most common theory. He was a wealthy benefactor. He financed the research, the production, and the distribution of Luke's two-volume work. So he was maybe the money behind Luke. Some believe that maybe a very famous a philanthropist, maybe a famous businessman. Now the word is broken down: theos and philia. And the theos is God, and philia is love, brotherly love. So basically, one who is loved by God. It could be said one who loves God, but usually it's one who is loved by God. So chances are he was a Christian, a strong Christian, or at least a follower of Jesus, or at least a one who followed the way. And so that's one of the theories. The second one is this, again, and I think this might be even closer, because you see in Luke, you don't see it in Acts, but you see in Luke the most excellent. Well, that title, Christostos, I think it's Christos. I've said the Greek 14 different ways. Katie is dying right now. Katie is our publisher, my publisher. She's also the one who takes care of the podcast. She's like, stop it. Anyway, the Greek word is a formal title. It's a formal honorific title for a high-ranking Roman official, like such as governors Felix and Festus that you'll see later in the book of Acts. The most excellent governor, the most excellent Felix, the most excellent Festus, well, the most excellent Theophilus. Some believe he was a high-ranking Roman official. I tend to believe that. I really do tend to believe that. And it could be a combination of all of these. Now, one's going to be kind of a little weird. And it could be. It really could be. And it's one's pretty fascinating. But I like this one. This is the one I gravitate toward. I think he was a Roman official. Yeah, I really do. And he was high ranking. I like to look for clues in the language. And language doesn't lie. And you always look for clues. And I think that may be it. So also some argue that Theophilus is not a person. It's just simply it's generic address to any person who is loved by God or a lover of God. So again, it could mean either one, a lover of God or loved by God. Guess who is loved by God? All of us. Lover of God is a believer or a follower, maybe even a new convert to the way. So some believe this could just be simply almost like a pen name for people who are brand new. So could be. I don't necessarily buy into that as much, but it could be just a symbolic name. Look at this one. It could be a Jewish high priest. Yeah. So there is in recorded history, high priest who lived, who served 37 to 41 AD. All right. 40. And he was Theophilus ben Ananus. Theophilus ben Ananus. So the father of Annas, or the son of Annas. Ben is, the son. So, the Theophilus could have been part of the family member of Annas and Caiaphas. So, and you know, Caiaphas is the high priest who had Jesus arrested, and Annas is the father of Caiaphas, and Jesus was first brought to Annas's house on the arrest. So he made four different places. He made four different stops on that Thursday night, Friday morning before the crucifixion. And Annas was the first place, which is the father of Caiaphas. So I don't know. That's fascinating, isn't it? That's fascinating, isn't it? I think that's kind of intriguing. So, things that make you go, So Paul's lawyer is another one. So this is more of a kind of a, I don't know, it might be, but this proposes that he was a Roman lawyer, and he was hired, if you will, to defend the Apostle Paul, because basically Luke's work serves almost like a legal brief or an apologist, like apologetic work for Christianity in Luke, because he was thoroughly investigating. If you remember in Luke 1, it talks about he thoroughly investigated all this. And even here in Acts, you'll see that he's done this work. And so I don't know. Paul's lawyer, maybe. I don't know. I lean toward the Roman official, but whoever it is, Paul writes to them, or Luke writes to them. Again, some believe that maybe he didn't exist. I believe he at least existed. So, all right. So, I love the fact that it's this book, and the introduction, I think, is important. In my former book, in Book of Luke, I wrote all about Jesus, began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So here we are. We're right at that place. So Acts 1 is the precursor to Acts 2. I know that's like the Revelation, like duh. But listen, I love this. I did some research on this here recently, and I love this. The Pentateuch. You know what the Pentateuch is? The Pentateuch is the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. And it is Genesis, Exodus, right? Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Leviticus. And so those first five books spell out the history of the church, of the early days, of the fathers, the patriarchs. It spells out the church, early wanderings. It spells out the, of course, the laws. But it's a history. It's a five books. Penta, meaning five. Tuch is like library, the first five books of a library. And so this historical account of the early days of the Hebrew faith is in the Pentateuch, five books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the history of Jesus, isn't it? History of Jesus, the history of Jesus, right? It's only four books. I love it. This is the New Testament Pentateuch, Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. It's the New Testament Pentateuch. Why wouldn't it be? Come on, I love that. I just discovered that not too long ago, and I've been holding it in my back pocket until now. But I love that. It's the New Testament Pentateuch. It is the history book of Jesus, the history book of the church. If we have a history of the early days, we've got to have a history of the more recent days. And I think this is exactly it. And so I think that ties it all in together. So these should be read with the gospel accounts. These should be read because this is, and I love this. If you think about it, so what's the book about? What's the book about? If I were to ask you, what's the book about? Hopefully you've read the book of Acts. Hopefully you've studied the book of Acts. Hopefully you're still studying the book of Acts. But what would be the book about? What would be the book about? It sounds like an Australian term. What would be the book about? Anyway, I know. Welcome to my brain. But what is it about? So, okay, let's think about it. It's written by the same author, right? Luke. It's written to the same person, Theophilus. All right. It must be about the same subject, Luke. So if Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is all about Jesus, then I think the book of Acts is not about the Acts of the Apostles. It's about the finished work of Jesus Christ to start the church. It is about the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what I really want us to focus on, because even so many times I think we think of the book of Acts and we think of tongues, we think of Pentecost, of course we do. But I think we get off track pretty quickly. I really believe by Acts 2, we are off track already in the book of Acts. I think we're off track. I think we sometimes think that the book is all about either all the works of the people or the work of the Holy Spirit only. And that's just not true. If you look at Acts 2 and the sermon of Peter, and we'll look at that here eventually, the sermon is all about Jesus. So this is the book about Jesus. And it always has been, always will be. Yes, it's the introduction of the work of the Holy Spirit. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring us to Jesus. All right. So after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Verse 3. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So we're in the sermon series right now, the next 50 days. What happened in those 50 days? We are actually looking this Sunday at this passage in Corinthians where he shows himself to over 500 more people. And we're going to look at what that means and what Paul talks about and how Paul talks about it. He has convincing proofs. In fact, eating. Very first thing he did, if you remember the book of Luke, the very first thing he did when he was in the room with his disciples that Easter night is, hey, you got something to eat? It's been a really big day. Been a busy day. I'm a little famished here. You got something to eat? Give me some broiled fish. Crazy. I love it. Do you have something to eat? That sentence in Luke just kind of stands out. These 40 days, he's around for 40 days, and then there's 10 days of waiting and praying. We'll get to that here we'll get to that momentarily, meaning in the next few weeks. But he's here for 50 days, and he's here for 40 days, and there's 50 days between the resurrection and Pentecost, and he's speaking about the kingdom of God. Now you got to believe that the kingdom of God is different, or at least they're listening different, right? Now they're listening different, right? They're listening different now than they ever had been. They're listening to him talk about the kingdom in a very different way. Look at this one occasion, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, of course he was, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, I want to get to this. Now, I don't know if I'll have time to get to this week. Looks like I'm going to get to the kingdom next week with verse 6 and 7 and 8. But because let's talk about verses 4 and 5 right now. He leaves this command. Now, he's been talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, the book of John is by far the greatest treatise on the Holy Spirit that there exists in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke touch on the Holy Spirit from time to time. Very, very seldom. Mark as seldom as any of them. But Luke dives in. If we don't have John, if we don't have the Gospel of John, we do not have a real working theology of the Holy Spirit, really. John gives us so much of the Holy Spirit. So he's talked about this. He's referring back to the baptism 3 years earlier, where John the Baptist baptizes him and says, "I baptize only with water, but there is one coming after me who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire." And we're going to talk about fire here in a little bit. Next week, we'll probably talk about fire. There's this really peculiar passage in Luke that I find quite interesting. It's in Luke 12, I believe, and we'll pull this out. But this passage right now looks at the fact that there's a gift. Wait for the gift. Somebody say gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. He is a gift. He is a gift that the Father promised. And the Father promised, I leave, Jesus says, so I can send him. My Father, just wait for him. Because that's the hard part, waiting for him, which you've heard me speak about. But this baptism is going to happen, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. We will go into great detail once again for those who have missed it about indwelling, infilling, and baptism or outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what we believe to be, what I believe to be accurately, an accurate definition of that according to the New Testament and New Testament Greek and New Testament history. But understand this, that here I believe that the kingdom of God, okay, the kingdom of God is predicated on what we do with the Holy Spirit. Listen to me now. The kingdom of God is predicated. I mean, like, the kingdom of God rises and falls. He connects this. I just want you to hear this before we sign off so we can go to the next week. But listen, the kingdom of God is predicated, is built on, is established on what we do with the Holy Spirit. You cannot serve the kingdom of God well without the Holy Spirit. We cannot. The Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God are intricately linked, okay? So we just got to get that as we step into the book of Acts. So keep reading, keep studying. We'll pick up at Acts 1. We'll pick up a little bit more, probably baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll pick up about fire, remind me, Luke 12. Pretty important, pretty cool. And then we'll jump into that with verses 6, 7, and beyond. All right, be blessed and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Frimer's Chapel, a country church by a creek reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.